The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast. Joshua Adam, I am Arbuthnot, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson, and the returning of the Prince of Charisma, Mo.
Yeah, close enough. Close
I was like, what is it exactly? I can't remember exactly, but Joel has some news for us, so Joel, go right into it.
So, Meltzer had a radio show, and on the radio show, I haven't been able to track down the exact clip, but on this show, Dave was talking about Roman and talking about his cancer diagnosis and the treatment that he had, and I think it seems like Meltzer got hung up on something within what Roman was taking, and then with that, people took it as Meltzer saying that Roman faked his cancer or his cancer wasn't that bad. So Nia sent out a tweet saying that Dave Meltzer is a piece of shit. The fact that you make statements about people's health when you have zero knowledge about it is ridiculous. If you have access to superstars' personal medical info, that's a huge violation of HIPAA, and I'm sure that's not the case, so shut your mouth. So there's some impression online that Meltzer, that this quote had kind of grown some legs that shouldn't have. But again, it's interesting because we've seen more and more of a pushback from the locker room on Meltzer and things that have happened in the past, things that he's said.
The Peyton thing.
Yeah, it's just one of those cases, and I mean, there are the conspiracy theorists, the tinfoil hats, if you will, of Roman and all this being fake to get Roman over finally, and that's been one of the big things that we've missed, Mo. You weren't around for Roman coming back.
Yeah, so it's funny that they are accusing people. This is the same thing. They're accusing him of saying something without doing the research and finding out the facts, whereas none of them find out the facts. I mean, because what he said was Roman didn't have to do chemotherapy. All he had to do was take a pill, but he had leukemia. So, this is all a fact. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
That's what it was. I mean, the guy didn't. There's people who had to go through much worse therapy than he had to endure, and good for him, and lucky for him, and that was the Dave Meltzer said. This is a good thing, and now it's the same thing with that Peyton thing, where he was basically talking about her getting breast enhancements and how it was stupid they had to do that in the same age, and people took it that, but he's put it in a way that it could be made to sound like, oh, she's getting chunky, and she's putting on weight, and they turned it around on him. And they're just morons.
I think in the last week, I've kind of taking a counter of bad reporting and good reporting and how things can get taken out of example. I think the worst example this week was what the NFL Network did with Antonio Brown reporting something as fact just to get the story out. And he lost, I think, 500,000 followers on Twitter because of false reporting just to get the story out. And with Meltzer, it's someone that I never see with that. It's someone that makes sure constantly that he has his sources down, that he's going to get it out. And we're in an industry, though, with wrestling that people don't want him to have the dirt sheets because some people think the dirt sheets are bad or whatever, and they're going to misconstrue whatever he said. With what he said about Peyton, he got turned around to say that she's fat and she needs to lose weight when that was never the quote. And with this, obviously, the way he's trying to word it is one way. Someone like Nia takes it, the Anawani family hears that, obviously gets pissed off, and this is the result that we get.
Yeah, this is because they don't bother saying, what did he really say? They're just reacting to what they've heard now.
It's the now reaction.
Yeah, it's the telephone game or the, you know, If you remember, you play as a kid, when you sit at one side of the room, a person says something, and by the time it gets to the person at the end of the room, it's a completely different thing. Yep. So it's just, but yeah, I mean, the fact is, luckily for him, he didn't have to endure that stuff. Now, the WWE looks like they want to portray it in a way. In a way, too. They are trying to get it to make a major babyface, which is where I think that they are eventually going to turn on him again.
Of course they are. What's your over under, by the way?
I think it'll take a while. I think people really do feel
SummerSlam or before SummerSlam.
What this all hinges on, what this all hinges on, is if Seth's back is bad and they have to put Roman against Brock, I think that will speed it up, because then you'll sit there, people watch Mania and see that probably be the main event and close the show out and be like, oh, this is, have we traveled back in time again? Like, is this, this seems to be a rehashing of a Mania I've seen before a couple of times. So I think that could play a factor in.
It could. It really depends on. It's tough to give an over under because it depends on the WWE. But the fact is that when he comes back, and then they immediately are sending out emails to people saying his merch is available.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the type of thing that's going to turn people off. Like, don't pull at my heartstrings. Let me feel it organically. And the WWE is not. They don't know how to do that, right? So this is. It's the guy had cancer, you know, I mean, it's not easy. Like I say, it's fortunate. It wasn't the worst kind. It wasn't the most deadly kind. It was about a 5% chance of death, but it was still a chance of death.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Let's respect what he went through, but let's also not disrespect other people who, and what they've had to endure. By trying to portray this as something it wasn't, that's not like all he's saying, and I think you can take both sides.
Yeah. Well, also just the fact too, like the shirts going up were pretty gross, but they've done this already, like with the Hulk stuff, with the Hogan stuff. They just put the merch up right away, just like, we're gonna benefit off a Hulk off Mean Gene's death. Let's freaking do this. And then same with the Roman thing. And at least with the Roman thing, you could have been like, these shirts are 100% going to cancer survivors or leukemia, and that's what we're gonna do. At least have that on it. It makes you feel like a little bit better, because he's like, I'm going back here to fight the fight, so here's my shirts, these donations go to leukemia research. But no, it doesn't have that.
But that's the thing, is he's very sympathetic right now, and he should be. And even at the end, even towards the end, he was, when the people were booing him, and the whole time, especially towards the end though, it wasn't him that people were rejecting so much, because he had become, you had to admit, he had worked his ass off in the ring and become a better worker than anybody said thought he could be, and all this and that. People were rejecting the fact that he was, that they didn't have a voice. That was why he was being booed. He didn't. It's the same reason Becky is really cheered, was because she represents the fact that you're not letting us have the voice, because there is no CM Punk, the voice of the people, and that's why these people they're getting, you know. People are getting over at that level and getting booed at that level because the crowd wants to have a voice, and he represents the fact that they didn't. So that's not really as relevant right now in the men's division, but it also means that he's eventually going to probably get turned on when people realize they still don't have a voice.
Yeah, I agree. It's the organicness of it all, right? It's, fans don't like it when something's pushed down their throat. It's not the early 90s. Like, you can speak on this more. I was 9-10 years old when Lex happened. It was getting somewhat of an audience reaction, but it wasn't getting the overall audience reaction they wanted organically, because at that time they wanted more Bret Hart than they wanted Lex, and they continually pushed Lex.
Yeah, they gave Lex Luger a monster push, thinking he could be the next Hulk Hogan. And he just didn't have the charisma at that level. And the crowd liked, they liked Bret Hart, because he was the guy. He had been there for, you know, eight years, you know, and, you know, 9 years. And they had watched the character fail, literally. This is a character who always seemed to get to the edge and then fail for years, And so he had a lot of built up sympathy, and he was popular. He was the crowd's guy, not the office's guy. And so at the end of the day, they went with the crowd's guy. They didn't fight it. And that's different.
It absolutely is. Joel?
No, Roman's going to get booed. One way or another, Roman's going to get booed at some point. And it's just because I feel like WWE, they don't learn. They don't learn from the past. They don't learn from previous mistakes. They don't reevaluate and readjust. They just go. They just ram it forward and hope for the best. And I feel that that's going to be the same way with Roman. It's just going to be push him forward. And then when it doesn't work, it'll be like, well, what's going on? Why isn't this working? Oh, well, it doesn't matter because we're going to keep going because we have money.
The WWE not learning being an on-running theme may come up again on this podcast.
Well, I sit there and I, how many years has it been that that's been one of the big things with WWE is the not learning? Because it feels like it's been going on for years now.
20? When was the last time they actually learned what they were doing, Austin?
Yeah, it was really in the Austin, the Rock era, and when they turned the Rock heel, when they wanted him to be a big baby face, things like that. It was something they used to be able to do, yeah.
Because like Brian, they were forced to do Punk. It took them way too long to do. Edge just kind of happened, but Edge was never like pushed to what Edge needed to be. And Becky, they're kind of going kicking and streaming to push Becky. They've never really just given us what this one. Even with Batista coming back, I guarantee you Batista had to be the one who's like, I just want to be a heel. And they're probably like, okay, that's fine. Triple H is a face, is fine. When realistically, Batista should probably be a face in the situation, but we like him so much more of a heel, and it sucked as a babyface last time, so it kind of works this way. But really, any time that they've had to do the right thing, it's either because they've had absolutely no choice. Maybe this Kofi thing is the closest thing if it is done right, perhaps.
Uh-huh. I got opinions on that too. I'm sure we all do. But the thing is, yeah, the Daniel Bryan is the very important fact is if CM Punk doesn't quit, it's CM Punk versus Triple H at WrestleMania. And it's Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus.
Mm-hmm. Probably in the pre-show.
Maybe.
And it's Randy and Batista in the main event.
Maybe, yeah.
In a show that has The Undertaker lose and then has Batista win the belt against Randy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like Batista, but that wouldn't have been a fun night for anybody with Undertaker losing and then Batista winning. So it could have been much different.
It could have been. They lucked into it.
Mm-hmm. And the Becky thing, they've done everything they can to not make it work. Like they've had like some luck when it's worked. Like, oh, this is kind of making sense again. And then like last week, you're unsuspended, but you have to fight to get into the match, even though you won the Royal Rumble. So we're just going to forget that. And you're going to beat Charlotte, and you're probably going to beat Charlotte again because Ronda's a little whiny bitch and doesn't want to get pinned.
Actually, I'm pretty sure Ronda will get pinned at Mania, but who knows?
I don't know.
It depends on, you know, how long she stick around after.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, do you not have her get pinned so that you can do a one-on-one match the month later and then have her lose? Like it depends, right? But
yeah.
I don't think she refuses to do the job. You know,
I guess my point is just that things that are super easy, like this Becky thing that's just given to them, have become way more complicated than they really need to be.
And
that's the thing with like Roman too. Like the reason, going back to the Roman thing, the reason that he was getting cheered now is because people somewhat feel bad for him and the cancer, and it's a great story. And I mean, for whatever reason, there's the Shield's back. I don't understand the hype of the Shield as much as others do, but it's a big deal to some people, I guess. And they'll try it for the quadrillionth time at Fastlane to redo the Shield. But after that, and after he maybe starts facing Seth or something, those boos are going to slowly come back in again. And in a way they should, because I'm sure Roman doesn't want people treating him any different just because he's a cancer survivor.
Well, again, when he gets booed, it's not him.
No.
It's never going to be him. It's what he represents. He represents the office. That's what it, and that is the difference, right? Lex Luger just wasn't as over, but he rarely got booed.
Yeah.
The only time he really got booed was when he had to face Bret Hart in any way.
Yeah.
You know, then he was booed because he was less popular. But
and then they didn't even pull the trigger versus Yoko. when they should have put the trigger at SummerSlam. It's like,
yeah,
you
yeah,
did all this stuff. You had the airline hangar. You had him slam Yoko. You had the Lex Express. Okay, cool, yeah. Cool. And now he beats Yoko, and then he didn't.
No, because it was their genius plan was, hey, we can keep this going until Mania and make it even bigger at Mania than at SummerSlam. But the fact was they couldn't hold the momentum that long.
No, they couldn't. And that was the problem. So I don't know, like Joel says, if Seth's back is worse than we think, and I guess we'll kind of see from Fastlane how much he's in the match. But if he's not, well, me and Joel will, Mo probably won't watch Fastlane.
Watch Fastlane. I have watched the last two WWE pay-per-views, but I could.
Really?
Yes, I watched Rumble and I watched Elimination Chamber. I know.
Wow.
I know. After not watching anything for months as far as main roster, I did watch those last two.
Can I just quickly ask what you thought of those two shows? Anything that stand out to you, positive, negative?
Oh, geez. Memories of the shows. That's a little bit harder to have.
Jeff Jarrett.
Yay. And Elias's heel turn.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the Elimination Chamber with Kofi?
He was so great. You know, it's funny because they pretty much just took the exact storyline they were going to do with Mustafa Ali and just put Kofi in there. They didn't really have to change anything. And they didn't really change anything. That was the booking the week before was what they did with Kofi was what they were going to do with Ali. And what they did in the chamber was what they were going to do with Mustafa Ali. And they just did it with Kofi and it worked better because he's been around longer. He's got that same thing that Bret Hart had, you know. Though I think Ali would have done very well, but not as well as Kofi. He was so great in that match. The moment where he's sitting there and he's getting kicked in the ribs and he's like, come on, come on. You know, screaming. Like, that's just one of those great baby face moments where it's like, and the crowd's going nuts. That was awesome. Well, so he was fantastic in the match.
My other question is, do you think Kofi's wrestling Bryan at Mania, and you think Kofi Mania is going to have its moment?
I don't know. I mentioned this to you. I sent you a message a little bit ago, right after the Kofi thing, and I said, I told you to look up Rugged Ronnie Garvin and Ric Flair. Did you read that? And so do you know where I'm going with this then?
Yeah, I think I got an idea, but you can lay it all out.
So Rugged Ronnie Garvin was a guy who was like a mid-card guy. You know, he was a territory guy. He could come in, challenge the championship, probably wasn't going to get it. Really good hand, fair charisma, but not a ton. Just a really solid wrestler, blue collar guy. You know, big events he would wrestle not for the U.S. title, but for the lower title, like a Western United States Championship that you used to have, you know, on Starcades and those type of things. And you know, largely in tag teams. And he had a shot against Flair, and he pushed him to the limit. And Flair was great at this, making people look fantastic, right? And the crowd went crazy, and so they booked it again. And the crowd kept going crazy, and the crowd really got behind this guy to a massive level. The matches were great. They had great chemistry. He was this ultimate underdog, and they were doing great business. And so they decided to put the belt on him, and he beat Flair. And it lasted, I think, like 6 weeks, maybe not even that. I think he had like three defenses, and the houses just tanked. Because at the end of the day, the crowd realized they loved cheering for the underdog, but when he actually had the belt, it was, hold on, he's never been at this level. I can't buy him as world champion. And I think there is a possibility with Kofi Kingston, unfortunately, that's the case. I think it's more that people want to cheer for the story and the underdog, and there was even some of that back in the day with Daniel Bryan. You want to cheer for that underdog. They don't really want him as champion because where do you go with him as champion? Who does he face? Does he feel like a world champion?
Is this kind of the Eddie problem in a way? Like Eddie brought it on himself, obviously.
Eddie brought it on himself to a degree, but there was and Eddie's big problem was when he finally had the belt was he had no opponent, and they had to give it. They had to create JBL for him, and that didn't work.
Yeah.
Right. So that was a big part of it. But it's that same idea. Like the business just tanked, like you guys wouldn't believe, and they didn't understand it. They had to get the belt off him in a hurry. And I think there is some of that. Like, I think that's more Kofi not having the belt makes Kofi more effective because it makes him that sympathetic character. And maybe after when the time is right. But this would be all of a sudden he has a belt. I think people would look at it and go, wow, Kofi Kingston's the champion? Really?
Yeah, it's... I love this story there. It's weird just talking to a few people that are coming here that are casual fans and kind of they're asking, well, what's the card for Mania going to be? And I kind of let them know Kofi's in it. And they're kind of like, really? He's in the world championship match. They're like, do you think he's going to win it? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe. And they're like, that'd just be weird. Like, I don't know if I buy that. I'm all about it. I like it. I think it'd be really cool, like a kind of a lifetime achievement award. But it's weird because for me, I see the story. But then you also got to think of this mainstream audience, too, that sees him once in a while. How much are they going to buy him as the champion?
We can have the debate.
How much is the mainstream? But also how much I really am not sure how much the crowd really wants him as the champion so much as they want to cheer the underdog.
Yeah.
They want to cheer the guy that they can be their choice that is not the office guy. But do they really want Kofi as a champ? I don't even know that the established audience, hardcore audience, wants him at that level. He's you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the story could get over for him. And my thing is, too, is – I don't ask you this, Mo, is if he gets it and the ultimate idea is to then go to get Big E to turn heel against him, do you think people would buy Big E as a champion?
No. One of the things is I don't think when he gets the belt, like the match that gets me excited for him as champion is tough to put my finger on. The feud
Because New Day's been such a comedic act for so long. Is that why?
I think it's partially that they don't keep their people strong anyways at the top.
Right.
So there's not that, you know, I mean, again, you know, if you had back in the day, you know, you'd have a guy who was former champion who was kept strong to the side. And if two other people were going at it, as soon as that issue was settled, that person could slide in and give the new champion a solid challenger people believed in. None of that feels like that exists right now because they don't keep people strong. So, you know, the idea of Big E turning on him, you know, I mean, it's almost impossible to not feel like that's a mid-card feud. Because tag teams turning on each other historically in the WWE has unfortunately been a mid-card feud. So, I mean, if it's well done, and that's a key, anything can work. But I just don't think long-term. I think people more want to cheer, like I say. I think he's Ronnie Garvin. I think people love the idea of cheering for him and want to see him succeed. And eventually you have to pull the trigger. But
it also kind of reminds you in some ways of Booker. And obviously Booker worked in the end in a way for WCW, but the idea for Booker in the mid-90s for WCW was, well, this is a guy that's been a workhorse for WCW. He's part of a tag team. He's been here for so long. Let's give him the opportunity to be the champion because it's a kind of a lifetime achievement award for Booker.
And it was Booker and Double J, right? It was Booker and Jeff Jarrett. It really was two people. People were having trouble at the time seeing at that level.
Yeah.
It hurt them a lot.
And yeah. I mean, ultimately it worked out for Booker. I don't know if we ever will see Jeff as whatever that was, despite what he sees himself as, despite him being an Impact champion by his own hand, WCW champion, politicking with Vince Russo. Booker eventually, I think, with the help of himself just being charismatic, but also with a little bit of the WWE shine in that era there, helped him become a bigger star.
Well, yeah, the King Booker character when he got the championship, though. When he came over as the Booker T character they had, you know, he couldn't get to that level.
No, because you remember the Gold Dust skits of that. That's the main thing you remember, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I don't think the Kofi's – it's a great point bringing up who's Kofi's next feud is. I just can't see them killing the New Day cow. Like, just – that's – that cranks out money for them, even though all three of them do such a great job at doing PR for that company and going out and doing stuff for that company constantly on a regular basis. They were literally in India during SmackDown because they were more valuable to go out and do promotional work for them than being on SmackDown. It doesn't hurt that they don't have to promote a match anymore, but it would be foolish to continue to stop that and to kill that off.
And the shame of this all is, for me, is that I do think Kofi could have been at this level, but now I think it's too late. Do you know what I mean? Like back when he had the feud with Randy Orton, where he put the paint all over his car and the crowd was going crazy in MSG, and then unfortunately screwed up one thing in the ring, and Randy Orton went crazy in the middle of the match and broke kayfabe, and there's that word again, and you know, screamed backstage and it ruined his push. It is too bad, because I do think he could have been a guy at that level, at the world championship level.
Stupid.
Well, thank you. I don't think it can happen.
Kofi got to turn that around, and there was a spot, I think on SmackDown, or it was the Elimination Chamber, where he starts yelling stupid at Randy. So that was a nice little Easter egg for eagle-eyed fans.
Nevertheless, the point being that I think he could have been... I'm not saying he isn't good enough. I'm saying that crowd is just tough to book a guy like that, you know. It's tough. To just put him at that level all of a sudden.
Well, I think we can even flip and look at New Japan right now, and looking at the ticket sales for the MSG show with Jay White as your champion. I think
Jay White killed it for me.
Great point, Joel. Great point.
That is one thing, but there's 3,000 tickets floating around on StubHub for the MSG show, and ticket sales have cooled off considerably. I think it also plays a factor with the Elite being gone, but it's another guy that I don't know how many people have bought in. I like Jay White. I think this has been a great story, and I think the New Japan has told such a great story for such a long time that I give them all the benefit of the doubt. I give Gato the benefit of the doubt booking-wise and his choices. I mean, Okada was a shot in the dark for them. He was a risky pick, and it paid off in fucking spades. And not only that, but he's probably arguably the best wrestler in the world right now. So they get the benefit of the doubt, but Jay White is one of those guys that I feel people are kind of looking at and kind of curious and to see what he is. I think he's a great talent. I just think there's some people that aren't sold on Jay White yet.
I'm not. As soon as Jay White got that belt, man, took all the wind out of my sails for New Japan. I felt deflated. I was just like, oh, really? Like, I lost so much momentum for New Japan the second that happened. So much, and for that show. I can't even explain. Like, it just, no. Not good, man. It was not a good choice. It was not a good the timing was wrong. Even later this year, I think it could have worked, but...
Do you think it was the hot potatoing of the title, going from Kenny to Tana, then to Jay White?
It's so many things. Well, number one, it was probably only 15 months ago. It was like 15 months ago that you and I were on this show, and right after the Tokyo Dome, and you said, what do you think of Jay White? Because he had just come off of like the worst match in history with Tanahashi had at the Tokyo Dome. And I said to you at the time, I really like Jay White, and a lot of people were shitting on him at the time. I said, I really like Jay White. As a heel, he's got to work on the persona. He's got to work on his viciousness as a heel and on his facial expressions. And he did. And he got a lot better at those two things. And seeing his progression this last year was great. He was really building and becoming one of, if not the best heel in the industry. But it's the fact that number one, Tanahashi didn't get his victory lap. The victory lap is almost as important as the victory. And you've seen that in sports, right?
Yep.
How important that victory lap is. He didn't get it, and that partially was a big part of the problem. The other problem is that Jay White, while he's improving, and you talk about Okada, the difference was that when Okada was getting the belt, Tanahashi was holding the division, and they didn't really have much else going on. And they knew how good this guy could be. Jay, you know, in the ring, And so they were in a point where they could certainly, they didn't have a lot of momentum yet though, so they could certainly take more of a chance. With Jay White, I mean, it's because Omega left. It was never the plan. Whereas with Okada, it was always the plan. Jay White is a reaction, putting somebody in that spot. And when you look at this belt and you look at who's held it over the last several years, you look at AJ Styles, Tanahashi, Okada, Omega, and even Naito for a small period. And you're talking of four of the 50 best wrestlers probably in history, maybe five of the 50 best wrestlers in history. There's such a level for that belt of matches. And Jay White has never had matches at that level. Like, even the G1, what was his best match? And what was it, 4 stars? Even like, and that's, you know, at the highest level where we're consistently seeing these great matches, person after person after person. His storyline was, it was interesting, not his matches.
Yeah.
So I just can't get behind Jay White. If like I say, I get the storyline. When Okada was turned on by Gato, I thought for sure he was going to win at the Tokyo Dome, and he lost to Jay White. That would have been like, and I was like, I don't get it. But now it makes sense. If Jay White wins the belt and beats everybody, and then Okada beats him next year at the Tokyo Dome, that's the storyline. That's obviously where they're going.
Yeah.
That would, and I still don't think I would have had a problem with that. If Tanahashi had got his victory lap, and if Jay White had continued to build momentum before getting the belt.
Yeah. Yeah. I can agree with that. And like, I mean, you look at the right now with just the ticket sales, and this MSG is a huge, huge show for both companies. With how much do you think the lack of ticket sales ties in with the Elite being gone, with those guys being in AEW and not being part of that show? How much do you think that impacts it?
It's a big factor. Though I really do believe if Tanahashi was at the top of the card and defending against somebody like Okada, that you wouldn't be seeing this issue.
No. What do you think the solution for Japan is? What do you think they look at this and go, obviously you have to stay with Jay White and New Japan Cup. Just off the top of your head, who do you have face Jay White, and do you have any other matches to try to supplement? And like, do you just throw Tana and Okada against each other at MSG to have that match there, or is there anything else that they could put there that could draw people in, that could really help turn it around ticket sale wise?
The problem that you're facing is, like, if you put Ibushi in that match, I think everybody would go, that's great, yay Ibushi. I think they could really get behind him there because they want the authentic New Japan guys. That's who they want. That said, the problem is, now that you've put the belt on Jay White in this situation, nobody believes that he's going to lose that title. And as soon as the drama is taken out of his defenses, then the interest in watching his matches and watching the card and going to New Japan is lessened. I do think as you get closer to it and people realize the historical significance of New Japan being in MSG and ROH being in MSG, that the momentum will pick back up and those tickets on StubHub will get snapped up. But they've made some, you know, Gato, you want to give Gato the benefit of the doubt, and I understand it. He's one of the greatest bookers in history. He's up there, you know, with your Jerry Jarrett and your Paul Heymans and these, like, he's just a brilliant, you know, Bill Watts. He's just one of the best bookers in history. But historically, bookers can book for 2 to 4 years and they get burned out.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing, like, even the idea that they were going to keep the belt on Omega instead of giving it to Tanahashi if Omega's contract status had been different. Like, I'm seeing subtle things now. This guy's been doing there, I think he's been booking for since 2008 now, I think.
Yeah.
It's something in that range. And I don't know. It feels like I'm starting to get concerned that it's like he's got that burnout and he's run out of things, and it's just not, he's not quite as in tune with the audience. And I don't know.
What do you do with a booker that gets burned out? Do you move on to the next guy and never revisit them? Or so Gato would be done.
You move on to the next guy and you hope to hell that he's good.
Yeah.
And that he can give you a fresh take, and freshness is a lot of this with New Japan, because the thing about it is it's been the best product in the world for the last several years. It's been the best product I've ever seen over the last several years, but freshness is a very important, especially in the wrestling industry, especially with AEW coming.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, I don't disagree with you at all. Like it's fascinating to watch now, just because at some point, if you said 2 years ago, if you said Japan was running an MSG, that would be a massive must-see show. That would sell out, and you would not get a ticket for that. The thought of seeing Okada at his peak, seeing Tanahashi, seeing Ospreay, seeing Ibushi, seeing all those guys competing in Madison Square Garden would be massive. And now you're kind of looking and kind of going, okay, well, I guess you can have this piece face Jay White. And then you can have this match over here, and you can have this over here, and it should be all right. And, I mean, some of the guys, like, Ring of Honor has some decent guys, but there's no one that really gets me super excited except for Marty. Marty's probably the only guy that gets me really excited, intrigued. I'm just not sold on Matt Taven as a main event talent.
I like Matt Taven a lot. I think he's emerging. I think he'll get there.
Yeah,
I gotta go with Joel. I don't see it either.
I think he'll get there, but again, it's and I like the new talent they brought in there and their direction. But it's a company that's rebuilding.
Yep. Yeah.
You know.
I like POC. POC's great. He's fantastic.
He is unique. I'll give him that. And that's a good thing this day and age.
I like Brody King. Very much.
Yep.
I think I like Villain Enterprises. I like Marty, so I miss him on.
Yeah, I like what this Lifeblood group that they created. I like what they've done. I like seeing Jeff Cobb finally getting some national exposure at a level he hasn't seen yet. And like, I like a lot of this stuff, but it's gonna take a little while before these guys can get over to their core crowd, but to get over to the casual ROH fans. That's what's going to be the key, and that's part of MSG, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I like PJ Black's weird headgear. I don't know. Me and Joel watched that, and we were convinced for what, Joel? At least 5-10 minutes that it was his hair.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
100%. I thought it was his hair too. So me too.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. What's that? What's in the docket next, Joel?
I think we've talked about it enough, and I think it's one of the bigger topics. Mo had mentioned it, had predicted it in some ways a few months before it actually happened, but AEW, it's real, it's signing talent, and it's a thing. And it's doing a show for raising money for gun violence, and then they're going Double or Nothing in Vegas. What are your thoughts, Mo? Like, me and Josh have talked about this for countless podcasts.
Well, that's the thing, is you're coming in this late, it's tough to, but I can say, I mean, it's already my favorite wrestling company. I do love NXT, but I feel like I'm in this holding pattern waiting for it. I'm waiting for it to really launch.
Yeah.
Waiting for all the talent to be available that they want. Waiting for and that will be the interesting thing. The way I've but waiting for the television show, all this stuff. Yes, it's like, what do you think? You figure they need about 40 guys, and right now they have something like 13 or something like that under contract.
They gotta have more than that, don't they? Now,
yeah, it seems like they've grown a bit. I would say they probably have about 20-25 guys under contract.
And there's some guys in the over budget battle royal that aren't officially with the company, right?
Yeah, I would think. I wasn't necessarily counting the guys in over
budget. Oil. Jungle Boy is with the company, right?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was just thinking the people that I know for sure have signed contracts. I think I had it at 13, though. I could be wrong.
Well, I'd add Anderson and Gallows to that in September.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
there's another set there.
Unless Roman can be the Dean Whisperer, I mean, you could probably, there's a chance you can add Jon Moxley to it.
And probably Shawn Spears as well, since him and Cody are really good friends, apparently.
Yeah. And they do want to get too many ex-WWE guys.
No, Tony Khan's been very clear on that.
But you have a chance to get, and obviously, I mean, Anderson and Gallows, and especially Moxley, Dean Ambrose. That's you don't not do it. You do that. So I will be fascinated to see how he does outside of WWE. I will be, because he was a guy. This was the guy who. The company always wanted to push Vince and Triple H wanted to push Roman, and the hardcore wrestling fans wanted it to be Seth Rollins because he was the great wrestler as Tyler Black in ROH. But everybody else was going, this is the guy. Like, you know, guys like Meltzer and guys in the company was going, oh, it's this guy. I mean, this is the guy that William Regal wanted to work with in developmental, and Mick Foley came back to work with in developmental. Everybody was like, this is going to be the guy. And they just they seem to have killed his love for the business long ago. I wonder how good he can be when he gets away from it and when he gets the chance to be what he wants to be.
I want him versus Jimmy Havoc so bad. Like, they will kill each other, and it's going to be fantastic. Or Sammy Callahan and him to get some rematches in as well. It'll be fantastic. There's just a lot that Dean can do on the indies right now, and I think him staying in WWE would be a mistake the size of what CM Punk did when he wanted to leave and Punk should have left. I think it'll be something like that for Dean. If he's like, well, you know, my brother's back and I'm rejuvenated to do things, I think that'd be a mistake. I think he needs to leave to just see what's out there.
Yeah, I think to rediscover his love for the business, if it's there. So many of these guys do that. They have to do that. Well, I mean, the amount of people who want to leave this company is amazing.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the biggest thing is it's not necessarily rats leaving a sinking ship, but in some ways it is. It's kind of like, well, I got a better shot going here. I'm not going to be trapped. That's why I ranted and raved about the NXT call-ups, because this roster is already so bloated, and now you got to make room for four other talented guys that should be up in your mid-card, higher range, and now you're going to throw them in there and hope that it all works out, and hope to God you don't forget that you got to book them and put them over on a show or get them exposure. I think that letting some guys go wouldn't hurt the company, but they're not going to. They're just going to pay people to sit there.
And not to mention, too, with those original call-ups, now we know Gargano and Ciampa aren't up there, obviously, anymore. But Black and Nikki Cross and EC3 are still kind of like, I guess we were call-ups, but I guess we'll just chill in main event. I guess we'll wait to get our push one day, if it ever comes now.
And it sounds like Lars, like, there's no word on Lars, and it sounds like he might be done, so.
Yep.
Yeah, you got EC3 just sitting around, chilling. Lacey Evans just walks out to the ring and then walks away. It's just,
well, she'll get a major push. Don't worry, they can market her.
Oh, she's facing Asuka at WrestleMania, Mo. That's the rumor.
Well, that's probably not going to happen now, apparently, but okay. That's what they wanted. But yeah, I mean, because they see her as somebody they can market. Again, not thinking, hey, does this person get over? Does the crowd want to see them?
Or can she wrestle?
Yeah, exactly.
She can't even do a fucking kip-up. So, no, she can't yet.
See, yeah. That's the other thing. That's the danger where you see people in NXT going, oh, yeah, they're TV ready already. Like, there's no problems. Some people aren't. You got to give them time. NXT is still your developmental. And to me, I think it's a mistake to call Ricochet up still. I think that's a guy that, honestly, I'd rather see stay in NXT because I think he could have more incredible matches. But that's my logic behind it. And I just feel like Ricochet's a guy that's one injury away from getting lost in the shuffle and Vince going, we don't like these flippy guys anymore. Let's not use them. And then an incredible talent like Ricochet just kind of sits there.
Yeah, very possible. Yeah. I think we all know it's possible. We've seen it. We saw it with Finn Balor, right?
Yeah. I think it sucks. I think NXT is the height of Tommaso Ciampa's career. I just can't see Vince going, well, he's had major knee surgery and major neck surgery, so we're just going to ride with this guy because he's really talented and really good in ring. We're going to keep going with him. It's going to be like, oh, he's hurt. He's injury prone. Let's not do anything with him.
What exactly is going to happen is he's going to come back from his neck surgery and they're going to be like, Vince, Tommaso is ready. Should we put him on the NXT or the main roster? Who? God damn, I don't know who the fuck that is. Pretty much what's going to happen. Tommaso, what?
The one thing that Tommaso Ciampa has.
Fucking name, first of all. Shit.
The one thing that Tommaso Ciampa has going for him is that he looks like Triple H if he was shrunk in the dryer. So that helps him a little bit.
Maybe Vince will get confused. Paul?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If he calls him Paul, just go with it, man. No, you're. But like I say, I mean, if he ends up in NXT for this whole career and same with Gargano, I'll be ecstatic. I don't want to see them on the main roster. I never did.
I just feel like Johnny. I love Johnny. He's one of my favorite guys to watch. Someone could sit down and make an argument for him being one of the best wrestlers in the world right now.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I want him to stay in NXT. My thing is with Ciampa being out, and just God only knows where they're going to go with things now. I still feel like Johnny needs to have his moment in NXT, and him getting called up put a damper on it. Now that he's not called up, there's a possibility he can still have his moment in NXT. And then once he has his moment, then you can move on to Cole and build Cole up and have him have his moment. I want Johnny to have his moment. That's all I want. And
his victory lap.
Yes, yes, yes. At least one successful title defense.
Yeah. Exactly. We haven't talked about Ronda yet, have we?
No.
No, she's just... I know this is a work, but it's also she's just really stupid. Like I don't know if you saw the theme from Toronto last night with her, Mole.
I did, yeah.
What can I say about Canada? The poutine sucks, right? It's like, you're so bad. You're just so bad at this whole thing. You're just the worst.
It's funny because you look at Ronda, who's a megastar, who's a bona fide superstar from her time in the UFC. She's a well-known name. People know who Ronda Rousey is. And then you look at this little Irish lady from a point where she retired from wrestling because she couldn't do it, comes back and finds her footing, and the crowd gets behind her. And now she's one of the top baby faces in your company?
If not the top.
She gets a good reaction. She gets a really good reaction. People want to see Becky. People are engaged with Becky Lynch and want to see what she does next. And she just has this really cool demeanor. Like, it doesn't feel like Becky's really trying out there. It just feels like Becky's being Becky. And Ronda's trying really, 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 really hard to connect. And it's just not working. And then Charlotte's just kind of there.
Yeah, Charlotte is just kind of there. Have you seen that whole YouTube video too, Mo?
Oh, of course.
It's just, like, part of me obviously thinks it's fully a shoot, but I also, to a degree, think some of it is just her being frustrated because, once again, she's not the darling that she wants to be. It's the face she made after she lost to Amanda Nunes, and she's like, why are you booing me? It's yeah, that
she,
kind of
she
Ronda.
She doesn't like being booed.
No.
She doesn't like being booed. That's for sure.
She's insecure.
Well, yeah, she is insecure. Mm-hmm. And she probably is, like I say, I think we said this 2 years ago on the show, probably has undiagnosed mental health issues. She is abnormal. I mean, it's crazy. That video that everybody's talking about, she's sitting there on the way to the parking lot, waving at the fans and smiling, and then pissed off after. It's like it's just really inconsistent. But then
drives by a girl with a crutch. She's like, "Fuck your crutches!" It's like, what?
Well, what she said was, "No, don't fucking touch me." When somebody reached into her car.
No, but there's another video of someone with crutches.
Oh, okay.
And
she
said, fuck your crutches.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, this video probably, if she hadn't been so profane, I doubt very much it would have gotten nearly the, and even then, if you look at it, it doesn't have nearly the amount of views you'd expect.
No.
I think last time, when I saw yesterday, it was like at 770,000, which is honestly not that much.
I don't think anyone really knew she even had a YouTube series until this happened.
Maybe not.
Like, I'd heard about it, but I've never gone out of my way to check it out. It was always like, oh, that's there. Yeah.
Well, I checked out a couple other videos since it was going on and watched some. And there's one on there that happened from a while ago where she's like, I don't know if I can keep doing this. Her goat had died.
Right. And this is when she was talking about wanting to have kids and stuff into that too, right?
Yes, and she's sitting there talking about, you know, my family's getting hurt because I'm out there on the road all the time, and I really love that goat. She's bawling, and I'm like, I don't want to, you know, have anybody, I don't want to say anything about anybody's pet, but it was just really odd, really odd, and you have to wonder about her. Now, that said, the WWE knew she was going to do this. They probably didn't expect all the like I say, for it to be so profane and this and that. Because, I mean, she dropped, I think somebody said something like 19 F-bombs in 3 minutes. Like, like it was something crazy like that. Like, you know, it reeks of desperation.
Is 100%. That's the words we used. We used the words on the pod we did on, I believe Tuesday, was desperation and insecurity for her. Of here comes Becky.
Well, she's, I mean, absolutely, from the company.
Oh, yeah, the company,
from the company, this angle, not to mention the one guy saying to Braun, is it fake? And you know, Batista and Triple H and using real names. This feels
Richard Flair and the Reed Flair stuff. Do not get me started on that shit, Mo. I was pissed.
This reeks of desperation.
Yeah.
You can't engage the audience with good storytelling, so you're desperately trying to do something. It's just horrible.
Yeah, the Hunter stuff, I don't know why we need to bring Reed Flair into this. That has nothing to do with Dave Bautista.
Nothing.
Like, it's not gonna make me care about that he beat up Ric Flair more. Sure, you can say Ric Flair was near death and you ruined an opportunity for us to celebrate his 17th birthday. I'm fine with that. I'm sure Rick would be fine with that. But to call him Richard Flair was just – it was this week of WWE trying to push kayfabe to a degree and then be like, oh, if you didn't think it was kayfabe, you're a mark. Ha, 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 ha. It's like, no, we know what's going on here. You can't put the wool over our eyes. You guys are just being desperate and trying to shoot – you're trying to work marks. And then it's the thing that Hunter always said, or Hogan. If you keep on working, you're going to work yourself into a shoot. And that's kind of eventually where they're going to get to.
Well, it's what it is they want you to think that that when that match happens, they're backed into a corner. They cannot not put it on, and this woman's they want the casual audience to think, oh, this woman's going to kill them. This woman's going to actually kill them. I got to see this.
Which she could if she wanted to. She's a trained weapon. But we've seen that when Braun got out of a line in one match, Brock punched him in the face deliberately, like, don't fucking do that again. I can really hurt you. And if Ronda wanted to, she would have. But Joel brought this point up tremendously on the pod that we did. The attack Ronda had on Becky was not that good, and probably could have been a lot better if Ronda really wanted to hurt Becky.
Well, it's not logical again that she's into armbar and okay. But I mean, there's a lot of intensity to it, so I didn't have a problem with the attack. What it is that, but like I said, they're sitting there and they want people to think that this is, they're going to see something without realizing that if the rest of the show sucks, they're not going to stick around.
Yeah.
So if you're sitting there and you're like, okay, I got to watch, you know, Ronda, see if she's going to actually hurt these people. And the other 2 hours and 45 minutes of Monday Night Raw doesn't engage you. It doesn't matter if you've come around for a week or two, or, you know, until the end of WrestleMania. You're not sticking around. You've got to make people fans of the product overall. Or if, you know, you decide you're going to watch WrestleMania as one of those casual fans to see what she's going to do, and the other 14 hours of WrestleMania sucks. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be...
Enjoy, Joel!
Oh... Wow.
And you know what? You're going to have a great time at WrestleMania. It's an incredible weekend. You're going to meet a lot of cool people. You're going to see superstars. You're going to have a great time. But the company, man, I go back to, and it's probably not like, I see the people on Twitter who are like Eric Bischoff and Glenn Gilbertie, the Disco Inferno. Ugh. They're like, oh, this is going to be, you know, turn business around. And I'm like, you guys are just morons. You're so stuck in 20 years ago. I remember when Goldberg walked out on the match and they were sitting there going, he wouldn't go up for Nash's powerbomb. He did what? And now he's walking out. He's so unprofessional. And then the next night on Nitro and, out walks what's his name, Russo there, and he's like, he thinks if all his line, the line I'll never forget, he thinks if all this was real, he could beat anybody in this ring. And it just was, to me, well, that was the
same
line.
Time they had that triple threat match. It was Steiner, Nash, and Goldberg, and they had like a three-way interview and talked about like, well, I'm not going to be the one that's going to take the pin. You're going to be the one that takes the pin.
Yeah, exactly. It's
fucking brutal. Wait, I've never heard of this moment. There's a lot of stuff from the...
It was, I don't know when this was. It was near the very end.
It was pretty close to the,
And it was like literally a promo where the three of them said, like, I'm not taking the pin. I'm not doing the job in a promo.
Man.
And kind of what he was talking about with Nash, too, with, like, being unprofessional. And this is
unprofessional. Goldberg walked out on the match and wouldn't do the job.
Right. Literally, and Goldberg turned
Russo,
heel, right?
Russo and Russo comes out on the ramp and says, what are you doing? And Goldberg says to him, fuck you. This is on the pay-per-view. This decided they would try and get people, engage people. Yeah. And then the next night, like I say, Goldberg wasn't there and Russo came out and that was the line that killed it for me was, he thinks if all this was real.
Yeah.
And I remember going, we know it's not real, but don't push it in our face. And it's that same, like, it's the same mentality here. and really, how do you build this? Like, this comes back to, again, how do you build this up? Well, put on a good show for 3 hours and have people say, you got to watch this. It's so great. Well, that's how you make this big. Like it used to be in the day. It used to be, hey, you know, I mean, if Ric Flair was facing Dusty Rhodes and you thought they wanted to kill each other, that's what made you want to see the match. But the other about a week and a half ago, I was watching it. It was Life Force versus Jay Lethal's team on ROH, and the crowd was chanting, and what they wanted to see was Bandito in the ring against Flip Gordon, you know, and. They don't care about like that's how you sell matches today. You actually sell matches today less by a feud. If you have one, that's great. But really, what engages people, what makes people say this is awesome, is AJ Styles versus Finn Balor. People are engaged now to see great wrestling matches. That's what they want. They're not wanting this other crap so much. I mean, believe it or not, there's going to be a huge percentage of the audience. If I sat there and said, tomorrow, do you want to watch that Triple H versus Batista match? Or would you rather see Seth Rollins versus Tyler Bate? And there's a lot of people who go, I want to see Seth Rollins versus Tyler Bate. That would be awesome.
Yep.
Right? And they're not getting that. And it comes down to, remember when Styles and Nakamura last year, that was what they wanted to give people. And it was supposed to be the great match, and it didn't get over. And so Vince McMahon can go, see, you can't just put on a great match. And not
they never
realize,
gave the time.
Well, they put him in a terrible spot in the car. They didn't give them the time. Even the build up to it wasn't as good as it could have been.
Oh, it was like, this is a dream match. But they didn't do it the way like Japan does it. No. And also to your point too, Mo, just give us the match. When Ronda and Becky just had that stare down, everybody was like, fuck yeah, let's go. That's all we wanted. It's good. Exactly. We're good. The hype is real. Don't do anything more. We're good.
So you talk about them not learning from things. Well, they learned from Styles versus Nakamura that those matches actually don't get over. But only because that's what he wanted to learn. Because he didn't believe it. Vince McMahon didn't believe ahead of time that that's what works. So now he could justify it and point to it and say, see, it doesn't work. But if it's something he does want to work, he'll just go, well, they're not listening. Or the crowd's just being stubborn. He will only listen if he actually believes it ahead of time anyways. That's the example of it. And so it's just really frustrating.
Yeah, it's beyond frustrating because like you said too, it's a match situation too. I mean, even when Ricochet came up and he had the face to face with Finn, people were like, "Yeah, take my fucking money right now. I'll watch Ricochet and Finn Balor. Like, great, I'm ready to do this."
That's all you need in this day and age. That's a hilarious part.
Even when Nikki Cross came out to face Becky, we're like, "Shit, yeah, cool. I'll see Nikki Cross and Becky. Let's do this."
Just tell me I'm going to see a really good wrestling match.
And
that's great. I really want to watch that. Promote that.
And that's what AEW's done now, too. Like, I didn't think I'd care so much about Heyman Page wanting to get in ring shape for a guy that's already super muscular, but I need him to be in ring shape so he can have gear shape, so he can look good in his gear. I actually care about that, and I care about what this match is going to be. And him and Pac haven't even touched.
And you know it's going to be great, though. Like, you're looking forward to it. Same thing. It's like if I say to you, and you know what, the next match, the next event will have Omega versus Paige. I guarantee you, you'd be like, oh, I can't wait.
Yep.
It doesn't even matter if there's
a feud. Said it was Omega and Jimmy Havoc or Jericho versus Jungle Boy, I'm like, cool, let's do this.
Yes, that's what they're not getting.
Can NXT just fuse with AEW? Like, can they just forget about Vince and just... Because there's probably some talent there that they'd be like, yeah, no, let's throw it all together.
Well, if the call-ups go the way they will, in the next 4 years, it'll pretty much be those guys.
Oh, probably. To your guys' point, and I've talked about it before on the podcast, and I enjoy talking about it. I've yet to see the match. I'm going to see the match. But the 7-minute video package for Jordan Devlin versus David Starr.
Yeah.
Just sold me on it. Sold me.
Or even the Neville and Ospreay that you and I saw, Joel.
Yeah. Just simple little things of like, I want to go watch that. That's what I want to see. The fact that I'm going to get to see Walter perform at NXT is hugely exciting. And especially that he's facing Pete Dunne. I'm really excited for that. And the one thing that drew me in for NXT and that caused me to kind of him and haw when NXT and MSG were on the same day was the potential of Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa for the fourth time. I believe it'd be the fourth time where you could make the argument that this should be Johnny's time to win that title. I mean, Ricochet and Johnny from the NXT Arizona or whatever the hell it was
Phoenix.
Where you had that great match. Like, you can sell people on the athleticism. You can sell people. That's the one thing that whenever I have wrestling on and there's other people around and I see Kota Ibushi do a Phoenix splash into a Styles Clash, I stop it and I show other people because this is a crazy moment. And then people are like, oh, is this what they do? Do they do all this crazy stuff? I'm like, yeah, they do all this crazy stuff. Sit and watch, because it gets wild.
The WWE has all the talent in the world that can do that.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. It's not like they're roster. As much as they have your guys who, you know, your Baron Corbins, you also have those guys on the roster who can do that. That's what you market today. And that's what's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. Instead, you have, you know, your Baron Corbin and Elias turning heel again, and then teaming with Corbin after they wrestled each other. What was it, 14 times in like 3 weeks? Something crazy, like it was insane. But meanwhile, it's because I hear you say Gargano and Ciampa fourth time, and I'm like, yeah, fourth time should feel like too much. You should be sick of it, but you're not. You know why? Because A, it's been good. B, the story's been good. And C, it's been over. What, 15, 16 months? It's not four times in 3 weeks. Like they're killing Andrade versus Rey Mysterio.
Yeah,
that
it's getting close.
Something.
I didn't want that on the pre-show because I wanted it at Mania and I want this hair. I think everybody wants hair versus mask, but it's like we're getting very close to it almost being outdone. And like I was like, please don't be in the pre-show, and of course it is.
Like I don't want to sit here. I wish I could not to sit here and not bitch all the time about this, but the fact is that it's really hard to like, I'm not engaged with WWE's product, even though I watched, you know, a couple good things. There is some good stuff there, but
Bruce Pritchard's back, get ready.
Yeah, Bruce, I don't think it's a coincidence as we sit here and we talk about, I was mentioning that thing that Russo did with Goldberg and this and that. I don't think it's a coincidence that this Becky thing, or as Becky and Triple H and, you know, Ronda stuff, all this stuff is happening at the same time as Jeff Jarrett joins the creative team.
Yeah.
Because this is very much Russo-ific, and he was in that, you know, him and Russo were obviously tied in. So.
Oh.
Meanwhile, look at what NXT has. They have William Regal, Triple H, who's done pretty good down there, and Jeremy Borash, which is the key out of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing is, they're letting these, like, you watch Undisputed, and you watch the character that Roderick Strong is, you watch the character that Adam Cole is, Bobby Fish, and especially Kyle O'Reilly. And these all feel like 3D people. They're not 2D, oh, look, they wrestle, then they go away. They feel like people. They feel like they're interacting. Velveteen Dream, Matt Riddle, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, Mustache Mountain, the list could go with Keith Lee, Cassius Ohno. These guys, I feel like they just kind of let them do their thing. They have the storyline. They have the points that they need to hit. Like, I mean, you look at when Becky and, not Becky, but Sasha and Bayley, when they showed up again in NXT and had the tag team titles, and they just seemed happy to be there. Like, they seem like this is their happy spot.
Then, well, they called it home.
Yeah. I believe me, if Hunter can just put them in a little box, send them down to Florida and be like, don't tell Vince. We'll distract him with big, muscly men. We'll have like a Lars Sullivan cutout.
And all their goddamn names are down to one thing.
So it'll just be Lars.
You're just us because we already have a fucking Cole. Why do we have two goddamn Coles? Fuck.
You know, Ciampa would have been Ciampa. Oh, yeah. You know, it's not going to be Ciampa.
And Johnny Wrestling would have been dead. That never would have heard
that.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Gargano. No, Anno. Just
Anno. Just Anno. Oh, that's funny.
What are they going to short Ricochet to?
Shay.
Or Shay!
Oh. How long?
Here comes Shay off the top rope. Yeah, Shay. Shay.
So Aleister Black's just going to be Black, right?
Oh, yeah. Or Ack. Here comes Ack.
Ack Mass? You know,
there's no way he's going to let him be Aleister. He's going to be like, Aleister? Ah! What the fuck is Aleister? No, you're just Ack. Well, my move is the Black Mass. No, it's the ass. That's what it is. Tell him, Michael Cole.
Oh, shit.
And you know, and you've heard the rumors that Cole's potentially retiring later on this year.
Yep. Well, I don't put any stock into that. That because I know where it came from. It came from a question somebody asked about what happens when he retires, considering how they like to, you know, go with a younger audience, and it took off. So I think we could all, I mean, I'm not saying obviously he's going to retire at some point, but I don't think it's going to happen as soon as people think it is.
Maybe Renee to retire and get Beth Phoenix on the booth.
Oh, dude, but then they'll just ruin her.
Yeah, this is true.
But Renee is as fascinating as Ambrose leaves. It's fascinating.
I know ESPN wanted her really badly.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that comes back now. I mean, but maybe the fact that Charlie went there, they're like, we're good. I don't know.
We'll see. It's going to be fascinating. Yeah.
The next, what? Well, after Sunday, we're officially on the road to Mania. It just took a few flippant pit stops to get there. I just want to know what cards I'm going to see. I just need to know the matches. That's all I care about at this point. When I get to New York, I want to be able to sit and go, this is generally what I'm going to see. I'm excited to see Batista and Hunter. I never thought I'd see Batista. I'm excited to see Kurt kind of try to move in the ring. It should be somewhat entertaining. Braun's probably going to team with Nicholas, so that'll be fun.
Dina and Joe.
Yeah,
I'm excited for that. I'm very excited for that to happen, if that does.
And that'll be like a 20-minute match. That will be a 20-second match after Cena unleashes the sixth move of Doom. That'll be done. Ronda will just probably kill Becky and take the and retain the title. But I will have seen a very good NXT show and hopefully a decent
NXT. Shane and Miz. See Shane and Miz.
Best wrestler in the world, right, Mo?
Yeah.
Right? Oh, that finally pushed Mo away. Just took
broken
talk
in half.
You know, it's. Yeah, I think we could all build a really exciting. Like you say, you want to. I'd like to watch Batista. I just never want to see. I just don't want to see Hunter ever wrestle.
Well, let's go with this other dream match then: Batista and Titus. No? I really quickly... so they did the WrestleMania 36 press conference, and obviously Hogan was there, and Titus then did a Be a Bully thing. I think it's very, very notable that, number one, Titus was very outspoken against Hogan, and, well, WWE put it all over their Twitter and social media, and Hogan did, and Titus, who has been amazing and very thrilling topic for the company and has been tremendous on that side, did not retweet or like anything from that event on any social media platform.
Very interesting. Well, maybe Titus can induct Brutus Beefcake into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's coming next. Oh, Mo, please tell me what you think about Tori.
What do you want me to say? She was, she was in Playboy twice, right?
She was a good sports entertainer.
Yeah, I mean...
Her most memorable thing is probably one of the worst storylines in the history of wrestling.
Her father?
Wilson, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a petition to get Al Wilson to put her in the Hall of Fame, which would probably be the best part of the Hall of Fame, the rate that the inductions are right now.
It could be.
So do I just sell my MSG tickets to go to the Hall of Fame? Like, that's...
Clearly.
Yeah. See, Honky Tonk complain about everything for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Oh.
And half-ass pretend that Joni Lauer is important to them. That's going to be another fun thing with that.
Yeah.
It's probably the biggest shit show of a Hall of Fame I can ever remember.
Well, it's not... I mean, nobody thinks it's legit. Nobody asked
for it. This is the worst class I think they've ever had.
You know what? I think you're right.
It's just, I normally will watch
the year, Ted DiBiase, year Ted DiBiase headlined. It's probably the worst now. And then there's the year where you had, like, Mick Foley went in and he was, like, third from the headliner. And it's right. Like, why aren't you saving this guy to headline later on?
They had Bruno that year. It was like, yeah. See Foley. Like, just let it all be about Bruno. This is the big comeback. And Backlund was in that year, and he wouldn't shut up about that one big, Mr. McMahon, this guy is a great young wrestler, and you need to get him in. And then Vince had to come out. I'm like, God damn it, get off the stage.
Yes, that was amazing.
I don't think they'll be watching the Hall of Fame this year, which is the first time in a while. Like, even going back on the Sunday to watch it, no interest, really.
I am kind of interested in watching the Honky Tonk Man.
Honky Tonk's the only one. Because I don't know who puts him in. Waller? Jimmy Hart?
I don't know. Jimmy Hart, I think, would be more likely. Lawler, I mean, he and Lawler, yeah, they're cousins, but they're not close.
I know.
So.
New Jack?
Did you ever see that shoot interview?
Oh, yeah. I've been watching a lot of Honky Tonk and New Jack this week.
Oh, man. Where he's drinking the vodka out of the Gatorade bottle.
I saw the one where he's like, I'll never go in their bullshit Hall of Fame. I'd rather go to a Wizard World and get paid. You know the goddamn fucking thing that they do with that Hall of Fame? You can't fucking go anywhere for 6 fucking months. And then this make you sign a bullshit Legends deal. Fuck you, Vince. I'll never fucking go in your Hall of Fame.
Me and Addy watched that. We're like, well, every time we didn't know what we were getting into. Like, every time he swears, we'll take a shot. So
that's like the one time we were watching Walking Dead back in the day, and we're like, every time they kill a zombie, we'll do it. Not knowing this was the episode when they attacked the prison, and I think they killed like 100 zombies.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
The next day, and I was done.
not a smart move.
No. Anything else we got in the docket, Joel?
Well, not really. It seems like Sunshine and Rainbows in WWE. Everything's good. Mo is religiously watching all, 20 hours of weekly programming.
Loves main event. I will say, like, about AEW, I think the one thing I really like about AEW, I love how everything's been laid out. I love how, well, some people will say, like, they have a liberal agenda. I would like that they haven't, like, pushed that. I think they've done very open about letting everybody in. Guys like Sony, that's a gay wrestler. They've done a really good job of promoting him and activating him. The transgender wrestler that they have, they've done a good job of promoting her as well.
And they don't talk. Really, that's not the selling point for that character.
The idea of AEW's for everyone is it's for everyone.
And you know what? Having a liberal agenda, that's good. Wrestling needs that. Wrestling has been, and especially WWE, has been historically a very conservative place with a lot of conservative viewpoints. And there is if you want to attach that younger generation, you want to build the audience back up, which AEW has a better chance to do than WWE, that's one of the ways that you do it.
And I like that they express some people that say, like, yeah, I'm a gay wrestler. It doesn't matter who I am. But they never let Darren Young express it. They've never let Sonya Deville express it either. And I think, not that it would do wonders for them, it's just who they are. Why, into a way, it's like, are you trying to hide that Sonya's gay? Are you trying to hide that Darren Young was gay? It's a situation that I never understood. Just let them freely express it. Even what Finn was doing, like when they had the Finn, it's for everyone. I thought, oh, this is great. This is actually surprising that WWE is letting them wear the rainbow trunks and really go to the LGBT market. Wait. I thought maybe they should expand a little bit more, but obviously they didn't because they are what they are.
He wore those trunks except one show, and
I was going to bring that up, but I decided to leave that alone.
So he came out with at WrestleMania, not was it last year or the year before? It was for the year before where he came out with members of the LGBTQ community.
And then a month later, definitely didn't have those trunks because they were in Saudi Arabia.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Had they announced two shows for Saudi Arabia?
I think so.
May and November?
What a time to have it in May when AEW has their show and AEW is going to be super progressive. And then they have this show where their top babyface won't even be on the show.
It's great for AEW.
Mm-hmm. Well, and potentially no KO because he's Canadian.
And it sounds like, and from all reports and indication, that Roman didn't want to go before he had to step away. I wonder if Roman does the same thing and, like, I don't want to go.
I think it's okay. Nice.
John Cena will want to go. Well, he won't want to go. He'll go if they say go because he's a bitch. Company bitch.
Yep.
He is a company bitch, guys. No question.
Oh, yeah. He was actually good in Bumblebee, though, I gotta say. Closest he had to a heel turn was a Bumblebee.
Well, whatever. That's a movie. I'm not saying he's not good performer. I'm just saying he's a company bitch.
Oh yeah, of course.
I think Roman will maybe be a little bit less of that. That would be another good thing.
Yeah. I think that's that Anawani Samoan upbringing. Do what I want, brother.
One last thing. This will be my last thing. How big of a deal is it that AEW got Kenny Omega for 4 years?
It's massive. Mm-hmm. But also massive is that he still wants to work New Japan. When at some point in time, he will work New Japan still. The same with Jericho. At some point in time, he will work New Japan still. That's even bigger part of it. But yeah, having Kenny Omega will be huge. But all of their guys are. Like, again, I am in a holding pattern. I can't wait. I think it's going to be so great for the industry, and I think people will be surprised how mainstream this product gets.
I have been 100% wrong in everything I thought about AEW, and I'm very happy that I was.
Yep, you are.
I was very wrong, but I'm very happy. Yeah, I'm very happy of everything that I've seen and the progressiveness of everything that they have done. It's been really nice. I was very upset with some things from the Royal Rumble, but it kind of calmed me down, being like, something better is coming, so who gives a shit?
You know what? We were sitting here a year ago going, can an independent show sell 10,000 tickets? Now we know that an independent show could sell 50,000 tickets.
Mm-hmm. And they needed to add more.
They could have sold 50,000. They might have been able to sell 70,000 as an independent show. So that's where we are already. It's great.
Yeah. Last thing, I don't know if you've seen it, Mo, but I saw Fighting With My Family.
I have not seen it yet, no.
Yeah, I will
definitely watch it. I mean, it looks cute. I mean, I did watch the original documentary.
Yeah, the original documentary is great. I will say if you're a wrestling fan and, like, history and stuff like that really will bug you, it's going to bug you because there's certain things that aren't historically accurate with certain sets and shows and people. But as an overall movie, yeah, it's a fantastic, good story.
Yeah, I don't think that'll bother me. I know what movies are.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Good to go?
I think we're good to go. Mo, okay, you have anything? Before we go, Mo, do you have any questions for us? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. So many. But, Here's something I'd like to say, because it's been so long since we said. I just want to throw it out there. I gave this Tokyo Dome 6 out of 10. So that was the worst Tokyo Dome I could think of. So I'll just throw that out.
The one from this year?
This year, yeah. I was not digging it at all. So that probably also, is part of why New Japan has lost some momentum with me. So we'll see if WWE WrestleMania can top that. Man, Tokyo, it's funny that they're sitting there. They got two Tokyo Domes coming, and we're sitting here, and it's like Jay White is champion. Are you kidding me? You know, like you can't, and you got to get over a second belt to defend on the other night at that level. And boy, it just doesn't feel like it. Just at this point in time, it feels like that's overreaching. Maybe they can put it around.
With I believe Kent is going back to Noah, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And from what I've heard from like Meltzer, like All Japan and Noah are kind of getting some steam back. Do you think in the next, I don't know, 3 years that Noah or All Japan can get back to maybe even superseding New Japan?
No, I don't. Well, yeah, anything's possible.
Yeah,
like anything is possible. But I mean, I don't think you could do it in 3 years.
Right. No.
Yeah. I mean, could it happen? Sure, but I don't think it could happen in 3 years.
Because I wonder, like, Okada has how many years left, Joel?
Oh, God.
2-3 years?
He's going to be a good company man, I figure. So
I'm just wondering if maybe he goes to AEW.
No.
I think eventually we will see AEW and New Japan working, so right. I'm not sure it'll be as necessary.
Tony Khan seems pretty open to that. Like he seems like they have the one with AAA, which I thought was a great addition for them to do work with AAA. So, and maybe Triple Mania can actually be good for a year for once. If they don't let Vampiro drink or be near it at all, for one.
That will help. That will help.
Yeah. Although, like, it also does kind of help to have Vampiro drunk, because it's part of the joy of how will Vampiro fuck up this year.
That's true. But, you know, it's yeah, it's, I don't know. New Japan is, we'll see. I mean, if they don't have some of those AEW guys by that Tokyo Dome, it could be that quickly that we're talking about the heydays and how it was. Because the funny thing about them is that, like, ROH lost all these guys, but they brought in some new guys, you know, and some really talented guys.
They're very proactive.
They brought in, you know, and even guys like Tracy Haskins that people aren't talking about yet. And it was really, really good. And so they brought in all these guys. New Japan hasn't really brought in anybody to replace it. They're promoting from within, and that feels like part of the problem.
What did you, last thing, what did you think about kind of the Women of Honor seeming to have fallen apart?
I mean, they never had the roster.
Yeah.
They just never had the roster. So, you know, I think that the reason that it happened was because they would put these Women of Honor matches on YouTube, and it would be their highest watched YouTube matches, higher watched than the men matches and the different things, the historical ones they put on there. So that was that plus what WWE was doing was why they, you know, wanted to do it. But the truth is they just never had a roster that was at the level it needed to be at. So
I wonder, Madison Rayne obviously went back to Impact. I wonder where Tennille Dashwood will go next. I wonder if she'll go to AEW or she'll stay there. Or maybe she'll go to Impact. I don't know. I don't know what Impact will be in the next 6 months.
You know, who knows? But, I mean, Impact probably is your most likely bet, you know, I would think. But
yeah. I mean, we saw Scarlett Bordeaux on BTE. Did we put anything into that, you guys?
No. Unfortunately, no.
Yeah. So that is it. Thanks, everyone, for listening to One Fall. Really happy to have Mo back on. Mo, do you have a joke to end us up with?
You know what? No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening. Make sure you check out all the great shows on We Talk Podcast. And until next time, cheers and enjoy the day, people.
Goodbye. And good night.